Good morning. This is Ozarks at Large at 6 minutes after 11. Again today, and likely again tomorrow, we're with you an hour earlier than usual to accommodate live coverage of the impeachment trial in the United States Senate. That coverage from NPR begins today at noon. This is 91.3 KUAF, a listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. Ahead this hour, an effort to let people in Arkansas talk to a healthcare professional 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The plan will be explained by Dr. Cam Patterson, Chancellor with the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. He talked with Paul Gatling in today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. You can use your smart speaker to listen to Ozarks at Large and KUAF at any time. Just tell that smart speaker to play the Ozarks at Large podcast. You can also take us with you by subscribing to our free podcast. Services like Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Apple TV, Google Play, TuneIn, all offer the podcast. And you can find entire editions of the show and individual stories and interviews at ozarksatlarge.com. The 15th annual Buffalo Headwaters Challenge begins tomorrow in Red Star. The annual mountain bike ride is hosted by the Ozark Off-Road Cyclists, and the entire event stretches through to Sunday afternoon. Tickets include camping, some meals, entertainment, and the chance to ride a challenging route that's advised for riders with, at the very least, an intermediate skill level. Much more information at the Facebook page for the 15th annual Buffalo Headwaters Challenge. This is Ozarks at Large. Back in November, hip-hop artist Jasper Logan launched a new event series called Dolton Presents. He started with a concert, but says he wants the series to be all-encompassing. To that end, he has organized a mental health panel discussion specifically aimed at minority communities that takes place in Fayetteville tomorrow evening. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more.
While the importance of mental health is becoming a more common topic of discussion, Jasper Logan says there can be a number of barriers.
Counseling is expensive, and there's a bunch of other factors that, and within our communities, it's just not looked at as something that's normal. You know, it's kind of like ostracized, and like you get called crazy or, you know, different things because it's just not a normal thing. And thankfully, like, mental health is becoming more of a, I guess, more of a thing within our culture nowadays. And so, like, we're becoming more aware of it, but there's still a huge gap when it comes from, like, you know, being aware of it as far as like a global sense, like culturally, then like being aware of it as far as like, you know, in our minority communities aware of it and it being an actual tool and a resource that we can reach out and grab and utilize.
He says there aren't a lot of spaces for minorities in the region to go where they can talk about something that affects them when it happens. So he wants to create that space.
Just to provide a space where people that look like me and people that look like, you know, black and brown people can like come in and like, yo, this is a space for us. All the counselors are, we have two African-American counselors and one like Hispanic counselor. And then the art studio that we're doing it at, it's black owned. And so it's like, it's really like intentionally crafted as a space for like us to like be comfortable, to like express ourselves and to feel like, yeah, no, this is our space. We can come here and we can dialogue about this. And like, you know what it's going to be.
Tomorrow's discussion will focus specifically on grief. Logan says he and his friends lost a number of loved ones last year, as well as figures in the hip-hop community. So this will be an opportunity to learn how to process that loss in a healthy way.
Dialogue about grief on, like, one, a personal level, right? Like, how do I deal with it, like, personally when my cousin dies, when my brother dies, my sister, my aunt, whatever. But then also, like, yo, how do we deal with this, like, collectively as a community, like, you know, when someone that like we all know and love, like, and appreciate passes away and like they've contributed to our lives in some way, whether that's through their music, whether that's through their community work or through whatever, like, how do we like deal with that on a public scale, like on a community wide scale? How do we come together? How do we remember them? How do we like continue on to do the things that they believed and that they fall for? And so things like that, like, I just wanted to like kind of like open the door for those conversations to like take place and to happen.
The event will be a mix of presentations by licensed professional counselors and questions from the audience.
We'll come and we'll do like some like prepare questions that are kind of just some general stuff about grief and about the effects on it specifically within those communities, about how much those communities need these resources. And then there'll be a time for Q&A from the audience to just ask specific questions about, like, you know, how do we personally deal with this, et cetera, et cetera. And then we'll have, you know, a time at the end where we'll remember all the people that we lost this year, whether that be like, you know, personally or whatever. We'll carve out some time to just kind of just remember them and kind of let that energy, no pun intended, but like let that energy, like, just be there and just be present and just kind of like feel that and celebrate that.
The free event is scheduled for 6 to 8 tomorrow night at Mighty by Design Therapeutic Art Studio, which is located at 392 East Sunbridge Drive in Fayetteville. Jasper Logan will continue his Dalton Presents event series with a hip-hop concert January 31st at Paradin Art Supply in Springdale. Tickets go on sale tomorrow. For more on either of these events, visit facebook.com/JasperLoganRaps. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is Ozarks at Large. During his last State of the Union address, President Trump announced his initiative, Ending the HIV Epidemic, a Plan for America. In that plan, he identified 48 hotspot counties and 7 states with substantial rural burdens, including Arkansas. Now, almost a year into the program, state health officials say a plan is starting to take shape. Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth brings us more.
Last year, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention awarded the Arkansas Department of Health nearly $200,000 for its HIV prevention program as part of a larger push by the Trump administration to cut new HIV cases by 90% by 2030. Tiffany Vance, infectious disease branch chief with the department, says the state is making progress on implementing that plan.
There's now roughly a little over 6,000 individuals living here in the state of Arkansas who's diagnosed with HIV/AIDS. And so here as the health department, we've currently received funding from the CDC for engagements throughout communities in the state. And we are planning to have focus groups and listening sessions in order to ensure that the community understands all of the information in regards to the plan for ending HIV. And so through these efforts, the agency is looking to just respond really quickly to making sure that we're getting out there in those communities where we're seeing that there is a need for awareness, for testing, and making sure people have the services that they need and seeing if there's any gaps or barriers.
This spring, the department expects to coordinate listening sessions and focus groups throughout all 5 public health regions of the state, including Northwest Arkansas, which has the second largest population of people living with HIV/AIDS. Vance says the biggest obstacle to preventing the spread of HIV in Arkansas is a lack of awareness.
Just continuing to make sure that the community is educated and aware of the importance of getting tested and what's available as far as services for treatment, what's available for medication assistance. So we do have different wraparound and support services and case management and people who can work with you one-on-one in order to be able to help you navigate to the different resources that are available here in the state.
Arkansas has the 20th highest rate of new HIV diagnoses in the nation and was tapped as one of the states most burdened by HIV in rural areas. Vance says the Department of Health is employing new technologies to help address those rural communities.
We have been using in the past couple of years telemedicine in the rural areas in order to be able to provide care for patients and also to work with providers to give them any type of assistance with clients to where they're wanting to know, you know, kind of what's the best course of treatment, the best route to take. And now we are really trying to make sure we can implement telemedicine even more throughout the state and especially in those rural areas.
A separate federal program announced in December will offer the HIV prevention drug pre-exposure prophylaxis, or PrEP, to at-risk uninsured populations for free. In 2017, only 391 Arkansans were prescribed the medication, according to the CDC. And Vance says the department is still working on how to coordinate that distribution in Arkansas.
There are three federally qualified health centers here in the state who HRSA has identified as receiving, able to receive additional funding, which they should receive around April of this year. And that will be in order for them to be able to provide assistance to individuals with PrEP. And then you may be aware that through the president and the administration currently, they've worked out the plan with Gilead, one of the pharmaceuticals, so people will be able to receive the medication at no cost. And in addition, the administration has also worked out plans with different pharmacies in order for the medications to be dispensed. But the health department and our medical director, they're working to see what other efforts the health department can possibly do, but it's still in discussion and trying to figure out the logistics of all that.
And while the award from the CDC is aimed at public engagement, Vance says the department also applied for a $2 million grant from the Health Resources and Services Administration that would focus on testing and treatment.
And so hopefully the idea is to be able to implement new measures and have an additional HIV workforce to where we can get people who are diagnosed positive for HIV access to care and treatment quickly. So that funding we are not expecting until March of this year.
For Ozarks at Large, I'm Daniel Carruth.
The Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter is expanding its footprint to Madison County. While the shelter has always offered services to families and individuals in domestic violence situations in Benton, Washington, Madison, and Carroll counties, Community Engagement and Education Director Amber Lacewell says they will now have a physical presence in Huntsville.
And we've really seen a gap in services provided in the far-reaching areas of our service area. And we, last year, were kind of talking through how do we do a better job of meeting the needs of people who aren't just in the metro area between Fayetteville and Bentonville-Bella Vista.
With additional grant funding from the state, Lacewell says they were able to hire and train an advocate who works out of a space at the Madison County Courthouse and is available Monday through Friday during courthouse operating hours.
She is available to meet with anybody who's a victim of abuse there locally, where people don't have to, you know, have a vehicle, have some form of transportation and the gas money to get back and forth between Rogers. Now they're able to just go to the courthouse and get whatever resources, services they need, assistance with an order of protection, and just somebody who can listen to them and help validate their experiences.
The Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter is located in Rogers, so Lacewell says having a satellite office in Huntsville could make a difference for someone who needs help leaving a violent relationship.
And so having that window where they know, hey, I've got 30 minutes where I'm not being monitored or whatever, and I can go talk to this person in person at the courthouse real quick, get some information, that could be the difference between life and death for somebody, or it could at least be the difference in them getting the tools and information they need to then be able to pursue something else.
Lacewell says the shelter is also working to expand its physical outreach in Carroll County.
We've been talking to a few different groups in the Carroll County area, just trying to figure out logistics of that. But our hope is to be able to also provide some more services in that area, too. And we've got some partner agencies over there already. So it's just trying to figure out, like, what does that look like? How can we best partner rather than people feel like we're coming in, taking over things? We just really want to be a support and expand the services that do exist in those farther reaching areas.
The Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter does provide emergency housing at its Rogers location. Lacewell says they have room for 17 families who can stay for up to 30 days.
So we are kind of that emergency stop for them along their journey and just trying to help them navigate life, figure out what comes next, and give that stable ground where they can begin to figure out what their next steps are, where they need to go, and start to launch themselves again.
The shelter also provides counseling and support groups and has connections with other local organizations for other services like financial assistance. This is Ozarks at Large. Ahead on our show, just another book conversation with Pastor Clint Schneckloth about, you know, everything.
And David Bentley Hart comes in and says, that's ridiculous. either we get rid of the notion of hell altogether and just say very clearly, everyone will be saved in God's economy, or we we continue with the traditional notion, which doesn't make sense in relationship to how we understand God to be at all.
Heaven, hell, and universal salvation ahead on this Ozarks at Large on your public radio station, 91.3 KUAF.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten, in part, by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Arkansas Advocates for Children and Families annual Soup Sunday is January 26th, 4 to 6:30 at the John Q. Hammonds Convention Center in Rogers. It includes soup samplings, breads, and desserts donated by over 30 local restaurants and vendors. 927-9800 or aradvocates.org for tickets. Ozarks at Large is supported by the Center for Arkansas and Regional Studies at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, dedicated to the celebration and documentation of this region's history and culture.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda, and I am joined now by Leah Uribe, an associate professor of music in the University of Arkansas. How are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
Good, good, good. Well, we have some really cool things happening this week. Let's start with the Brass and Ivory Trio Concert. This is a chamber ensemble. Professors from the music department, Dr. Richard Rulli, trumpet, Dr. Corey Mixdorf, trombone, and Dr. Miroslava Panayotova, piano. They have been together for a while, playing really, really cool repertoire for this kind of unusual combination mm-hmm. of trumpet, trombone, and piano.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, and the name, Brass and Ivory.
I love that.
That's so cool. They're yeah, on the cool side right there. So they're having a concert on Thursday, January 23rd at Stella Boyle Smith Concert Hall, 7:30 p.m., free and open to the public. They will be highlighting some really, really cool repertoire, including Piazzolla and De Rivera, some of my favorite Latin American composers there, along with Bourgeois, Wixen, Ewazen, Frankenpohl, and many others. So that's our first concert announced this week. Also, at the University of Arkansas Faulkner Performing Arts Center, on Monday, January 27th at 7:30 p.m., we have a faculty showcase concert, which is a great opportunity to see a little bit of everything, mm-hmm. All of, you know, great quality music. So that night, in this concert, we'll have music for oboe, for voice, for trumpet. So this concert will include music by composers like Bach, John Harman, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, Olivier Messiaen, Robert Mueller, which is our composition mm-hmm. professor, and William Bolcom. So I hope you guys join us for this faculty showcase, Monday, January 27th, 7:30 p.m., Faulkner Performing Arts Center, $10 general admission, $5 for students, faculty, staff, and seniors. The Northwest Arkansas Jazz Society is launching the fourth season of the Northwest Arkansas Jazz All-Star Youth Ensemble. So participants will study and rehearse with jazz professionals from the Fayetteville Jazz Collective for 12 weeks, culminating with a professional recording session at Crisp Studio and a concert performance at the Walton Arts Center. So if you have kids that are interested in jazz or have been playing jazz for a while, register them. The registration for this program ends on January 26th. And auditions will be held on February 1st and 2nd. We have a link as well for this occasion. And the last one, my favorite, Antoinette, and mm-hmm. I think you're going to like it too, Salsa Night at Crystal Bridges.
Yes.
Have you been to those?
I've been trying to get there, and I thought I was going to get there this weekend. I don't think it's going to happen. I have a birthday.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, I know. It keeps happening.
So I know. It happens regularly, so that's good news. This is happening on Friday, January 24th, between 8 and 11 p.m., and this is just an opportunity to dance the night away in the beautiful setting of the Great Hall. A salsa night. I mean, what could be better than that? Mm-hmm. I mean, all the music we are announcing is really cool. But, uh-huh. I mean, to dance salsa and to connect with people and to understand the importance of salsa and dancing in our culture. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this event is free, but registration is recommended. And there's also a link available in our webpage.
All right, so lots of things.
Lots of cool things. This is all I have. I hope to see everybody in everything.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Leah Uribe is an associate professor of music at the University of Arkansas.
Welcome to the latest edition of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report. I'm Paul Gatling. The chancellor of the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences in Little Rock says that by this spring, he expects a patient anywhere in Arkansas to be able to access a health care provider 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We will hear from Dr. Cam Patterson on today's program. Plus, the latest issue of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal is out this week. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories you can find there. And an agreement between the Northwest Arkansas Land Trust and Fayetteville residents Tina Moore and Paul Green will preserve 700 acres along Interstate 49 forever. We'll have those stories after the break on the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report.
Support for the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal Report is provided by the Arkansas State Chamber of Commerce and Associated Industries of Arkansas. The Chamber's mission is to promote a pro-business, free enterprise agenda and prevent legislation, regulation, and rules that hinder business. More at ArkansasStateChamber.com. First Security is proud to be only in Arkansas. They offer smart solutions for personal and business banking. It's local banking with local commitment. First Security. Bank better. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
In an exclusive interview recently with Talk Business and Politics Editor-in-Chief Roby Brock, UAMS Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson said much of the foundation has been laid for digital health across the UAMS network, which covers 73 of Arkansas's 75 counties. That includes making access to digital health care available 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. Patterson discussed that topic and several others and explained what the UAMS philosophy is for expanding its reach throughout the state. That includes, of course, the fastest growing part of the UAMS network in Northwest Arkansas. Here is UAMS Chancellor Dr. Cam Patterson with Roby Brock.
We are the only academic medical center in the state. We train the vast majority of the healthcare professionals who practice across the state, and we are a state with many unmet healthcare needs. Now, you know, we have been a statewide entity for a long time. I think a lot of people know us as a hospital in Central Arkansas, but we have 8 regional campuses. We've got employees in 73 out of the 75 counties in the state. We haven't necessarily been as well connected, nor have we done as good a job as we need to of emphasizing the fact that we serve every single person in the state. So we've really been pivoting towards a statewide strategy from two different fronts. One front of this has been integrating our clinical enterprises across the state, getting on the same electronic medical record, having better communication, doing a better job of servicing people distant from Central Arkansas through telehealth and other mechanisms that we can talk about in more detail. And then the second front has been specifically to address healthcare needs in areas outside of Central Arkansas. And they're different depending on where you are. The needs in Northwest Arkansas, where you have robust primary and secondary healthcare services, but not that tertiary and quaternary layer of services, we need to build that up there. And then in the Delta and Southern Arkansas, you know, we just have areas that are tremendously distressed with such difficulty accessing good healthcare. So we've got to develop specific policies and implement those policies to get to people who are in need of healthcare.
Let's go to Northwest Arkansas first because of the booming population growth that's up there. I mean, it's staggering.
Amazing,
hard
it?
To keep up with.
Yeah.
So, you started a medical school. I mean, there's rotation. There's people up there now doing their training. And the area itself has made a commitment to try to improve over the next several decades its access to health care and what it offers in terms of health care. Where does UAMS fit into that picture of what the region wants to do up there?
Yeah, well, it's a mutual commitment. And, you know, the fastest growing part of the UAMS enterprise is in Northwest Arkansas. And we've got 350 employees there now. We probably had 100 employees there 3 or 4 years ago. And I expect that rate of growth probably to actually increase.
They want to do more residencies in that area of the state, too.
They do. Well, it's estimated that we need about 200 additional residency slots just in Northwest Arkansas to meet the healthcare needs. You bet we can. You know, I didn't come here to hunt rabbits.
What goes into that, though, in terms of the economics of that? I mean, you have to pay the salaries of those people. Where does that money come from?
You do. It's very expensive. And you know, there are a couple of issues that are involved in that. Some money that supports graduate medical education comes from the federal government through CMS. And we can tap into some of that for these additional positions. But the hospitals there are already under what is called the cap, which means that they can't increase the number of positions that the federal government will pay for. We need to get the state involved, and we are having conversations about the state making contributions. We've been working with Senator Bozeman, who is the lead sponsor for federal regulations, federal legislation that will increase the funding that's available for residency slots. Mm-hmm. And then we're all going to have to collectively work together because the community is going to have to pitch in as well. So that's, you know, how we are packaging the support for this. And I think with the resources in Northwest Arkansas, we can definitely make this happen there. And the idea will be that, you know, we probably have enough primary care physicians that are growing up in the Northwest Arkansas area, but how can we have more general surgeons? How can we have more specialists who will keep people in Northwest Arkansas? You know, right now, $1 billion a year of healthcare expenditures leaves Northwest Arkansas and comes to some of it to Central Arkansas, but a lot of it goes to St. Louis, to Tulsa. We need to turn that around, and UAMS is committed to working with the Northwest Arkansas community to make Northwest Arkansas a healthcare destination.
Patterson also described how additional technology, particularly artificial intelligence, is impacting healthcare at UAMS. You can watch that exclusive interview in its entirety online. Just head on over to our sister website at talkbusiness.net. Here's a neat story we reported first in the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal earlier this month and online over the weekend. With preservation in mind, a Fayetteville couple purchased 700 acres along Interstate 49. The land is in southern Washington County, just north of the Bobby Hopper Tunnel. Husband and wife Paul Green and Tina Moore purchased the land for a little over $1 million from Heartland Growth and Management. It was placed into a conservation easement with the Northwest Arkansas Land Trust, ensuring that it will remain in its natural state. The property is called Rotten Bluff Hollow, and the land links between Ozark National Forest to the east and nearly linking to Devil's Den State Park to the west. This link provides an important connection for wildlife to safely cross under the interstate between larger areas of protected lands. You can read more about that deal online at nwabusinessjournal.com. Also on our website, you can find the digital version of the latest Northwest Arkansas Business Journal. On the cover, a profile of Sarah Goforth and her work as Executive Director of the Office of Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the University of Arkansas. We also have the first details of the upscale hotel brand chosen by the developers of the $100 million Pinnacle Heights mixed-use project along Pauline Whitaker Parkway in Rogers. We've also got reporting on Northwest Arkansas home building activity in 2019, a new growth strategy for Springdale-based P3 cost analysts, and a new full-service architecture firm that's opened in Bentonville. You can find all those stories and much more in the latest issue of the Northwest Arkansas Business Journal. Just head on over to our website at nwabusinessjournal.com. You can read the digital version there for free, and if you'd like to subscribe to our print edition, you can do that also in just a few simple clicks. And that's all for today's Northwest Arkansas Business Journal report. Until next time, I'm Paul Gatling. Thanks for listening.
This is Ozarks at Large for Thursday, January 23rd, 2020. We're an hour earlier than usual today as we shift our daytime schedule a bit at KUAF for NPR's live coverage of the impeachment trial in the Senate. Today's live coverage scheduled to begin at noon and last, like it did last night, into the night. We'll bring you the entirety of the coverage today and tomorrow and, if necessary, next week. And don't forget, you can also find our show at OzarksAtLarge.com, and we have a free podcast available through most podcast outlets like Stitcher, TuneIn, Apple Podcasts, and Google Play. The annual Cocktails for a Cause kickoff is tonight in Eureka Springs at the Basin Park Hotel. The event from 5 to 7 highlights nonprofits in Eureka and the work they do. In full disclosure, the sponsors of the event have again selected KUAF to be a nonprofit receiving attention and financial support through the Cocktails for a Cause program. Tonight's event also includes food and a cash bar. Much more information can be found at the Facebook page for Cocktails for a Cause. I'll see you there tonight. Also tonight in Siloam Springs, the first Science Hour and Potluck takes place at Ivory Bill Brewing, beginning at 6 with Joel Woolbright and Joe Neal, two legends of conservation in Arkansas. Potluck begins at 6, presentation at 7. More details at the Facebook page for Science Hour and Potluck. Time for another book recommendation from Pastor Clint Schneckloth, lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville. This time he's picked a book that considers a few heavy subjects: afterlife, salvation, and damnation. He's discussing the book All Shall Be Saved: Heaven, Hell, and Universal Salvation by theologian David Bentley Hart.
David Bentley Hart is one of probably, I would say, if you were going to say who are some like the top five systematic theologians in the United States right now, he's got to be up there. Mm-hmm. What's intriguing about him is that although he started out as a very strongly academic theologian, like his first couple of books were really a slog, like only people who were like in the academy would have attempted them. Over time, he's found a voice as a popular columnist and author, so you'll read him all over the place. He writes like New York Times articles, and he writes for a lot of big magazines. And then he's written a number of not like New York Times bestseller, but definitely bestsellers within like religion. He wrote a theodicy a few years ago after the tsunamis mm-hmm. in Asia, talking about like evil and the justice of God that was really popular. And then the most recent thing he published before this book was actually an entire translation of the New Testament. He single-handedly translated the New Testament, and it's good. It's like a good translation and interesting. And so he's an independent Eastern Orthodox scholar, which makes him culturally kind of different than a lot of Christian authors. And now he's published this book, which is an absolute, in the traditional form of the term, a Jeremiad about universalism.
All right, I'm going to show some ignorance here. A what now?
A Jeremiad. It's, you know, in the American tradition, a sermon that has like a strong opinionated slant.
Oh, okay.
And it's going against one that goes against the grain of the popular assumptions,
right,
or whatever. So there's the popular understanding in definitely in American Christianity, but maybe even in global Christianity, is there's definitely a hell and some people are going there. You
okay.
know, that's like this is the assumption of most of
evangelicalism. There's some tradition back there, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And even mainline Protestant groups, which are now tending towards universalism in their popular theology, still have to deal with the fact that, like in their creed and other doctrinal books, hell is really an assumed category, that people are going to go to hell.
Okay.
You have to be saved by Christ or you're going to go to hell. You know, that's kind of a basic assumption.
Okay.
And the popular alternative to that, which was articulated probably most clearly by the current Pope, is, well, yes, there's a hell, but we still hope that all will be saved. Mm. You know, well, it's God can do what God is going to do, but we hope that everybody in God's work of salvation is going to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
And David Bentley Hart comes in and says, that's ridiculous. either we get rid of the notion of hell altogether and just say very clearly, everyone will be saved mm-hmm. in God's economy, or we continue with the traditional notion, which doesn't make sense in relationship to how we understand God to be at all.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, and so he says it really, really strongly. He's like, he's got, you know, he kind of has this opening salvo where he's like, any argument you make about the that hell exists as a category and that God condemns certain people to hell simply doesn't make sense in light of who we would think God is. And all the justifications for it, are you trying to justify this assumed thing that you've brought into your faith because of what you received from your tradition, and it doesn't actually make any sense. And here's my arguments for why it doesn't make any sense.
is he coming from a philosophical approach, or is this from like an interpretive approach? So when you're talking about hell, mm-hmm. and this is going to be an interesting conversation between you and me, I think, because I'm not a professional at this. When you're talking about hell, it sounds like you're talking, this conversation is both going to have one foot in hell as a mythical concept and one foot in that some people believe hell is an actual concept. Mm-hmm. And how do you, okay, how can the twain meet?
So he has separate chapters, each one addressing like the major big picture arguments that people make for the existence of hell.
Okay.
And so like one whole chapter is designed to undermine what people argue that that the Bible believes in the existence of a hell. And he says actually most of that is mistranslation, going back to his, he's a translator of the New Testament, right? And he's right about that. A lot of times when you hear things that are about hell or Hades in the New Testament in particular, it's clear that it's being used as like a mythological trope, mm-hmm. not as an like a doctrinal articulation of this thing exists. You know, it's like it's a dramatic metaphor. And so he said, he argues that the New Testament in particular, but really the whole Old Testament, the whole of Scripture, does not assume the existence of an eternal hell or eternal damnation for some. He points out, and he's right, that what the New Testament does say repeatedly is all shall be saved. Like in Ephesians, it's God is bringing all things into God's self so that everything might be all in all in God. So God's going to be bringing everything back into God's self. Or in Romans, you get God brought all under condemnation so that God might have mercy on all. So the condemnation is for the sake of a broader, like, mercy that's then extended to everybody.
Right.
So that's one. Then there's these other kind of philosophical things. He especially has problems with Reformed Christianity, Calvinism, because that's the movement within Christianity that has always argued kind of like a double predestination, that from all eternity, God has declared that some are going to be saved and some are going to be damned. And he praises that form of Christianity, at least for being honest about the what the philosophical implications are of there being a heaven and a hell.
Right.
Well, yeah, okay, if there's a heaven and hell and some are going to go to one and some are going to the other, and if God is omniscient and all-powerful, at least they're being honest and saying, like, well, God has then damned some to... And so he's
right.
Like, but the problem is, that doesn't make any sense in terms of God as a just God.
No, it does not.
So then he goes in another argument, and this is about justice. If we know that it's unjust to punish somebody eternally for a temporal sin, why wouldn't God? Like it, like you, you know, even if you killed somebody, mm-hmm. does the punishment match the crime? You kill one person, so for all eternity you...
Well, but...
Or even a smaller one, at least in traditional notions of Christianity, if you're born a baby and you don't get baptized, you go to hell. Or in some notions, there's like a little limbo or purgatory that all those babies go to or whatever.
Or someone who doesn't... You know, assign themselves or fully immerse themselves in some sort of belief that others think is mandatory for a heaven.
You don't accept Jesus in the right way,
exactly.
Or depending on what the tradition is, baptism.
Right.
Yeah. So he kind of goes point by point, arguing against all of these. Some of them are philosophical, some of them are biblical, and some of them are out of the theological tradition. And he points back he's an Orthodox theologian. Mm-hmm. Eastern Orthodox, they especially emphasize like the early church fathers, you know, the theologians of the first few centuries. And he points out that basically all of those early ones, Origen, Maximus the Confessor, Israel of Nineveh, all these early church fathers, they all assumed universalism. And it's only later, and he blames Augustine for this in particular, it's only with Augustine that you get the strong notion of two cities, like one that's on its way to hell and went on his way to the heavenly city. And he points out about Augustine, this is interesting, Augustine is like perhaps one of the greatest geniuses of Western civilization. He had one problem.
And that
he didn't speak Greek. Uh-huh. So he read the New Testament in a poor translation into Latin of the Greek New Testament, and the Latin New Testament emphasizes the hell part. So then, since he didn't read Greek, he couldn't know the nuances there.
Okay, let me play devil. let me literally play devil's advocate here. What about...
We have on record that Kyle is advocating for hell.
Well, you know, I think, okay, Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, mm-hmm. I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would hate to think... I don't know if it's sometimes difficult to think that perhaps people who lived their entire lives enslaved, never had a chance, would have the same existence, whatever it may be, after this plane as Hitler or Pol Pot
mm-hmm.
or Stalin
mm-hmm.
or, you know, pick your mass murderer.
Yeah. And he uses Hitler in particular, post-Holocaust theology to kind of discuss that mm-hmm. issue. There are ways of understanding the issue of heaven and hell and salvation that can address those. It's not like justice won't be served. You know, it may be that, for example, like there are different notions around like that what part of salvation or justification is the burning away of mm-hmm. all that is not of God, or the sloughing off of it, or whatever, and so the question ultimately is, was there nothing within those people that's still reclaimable right. in Christ?
Well, and I said, yeah.
I mean, a story example would be Darth Vader, at mm-hmm. the end of his life. You know, a horrible guy, but his son still finds
right.
a glimmer in him of.
Let me go a cynical route. Could hell just have been a great marketing device? Like, toe this line or eternal damnation.
Well, sure. And that's how it's, of course, been used.
Yeah.
Is to scare people into salvation. That's another one that he argues against, and I do too. It's like, what do you really want to do? Do you want to scare people into heaven, or would you rather be energized more by its attractions of
right.
that you get to share life with God or life in Christ.
We've talked a lot, and we have to move on. I can't keep you here forever. I could talking about uh-huh. this. So we've talked a lot about hell. Does he talk about heaven?
Yeah, he does. Although it may be dissatisfying on some levels. To finish up one thing there,
mm-hmm.
probably the argument that's made the most often as a what a lot of people find as a compelling argument for why hell would exist is because people really believe in free will. And so they don't like the idea that somebody isn't free to reject
mm-hmm.
What's on offer from God.
Right.
So hell is, for those people who, even given all the chances to be saved, still reject it. And it sounds like there's no freedom if you just... So that's probably the most complex one that he argues against. But even there, he's like, if God is God, then in God's time, how could it possibly be the case that ultimately someone would want to reject that? You know, this is kind of the argument that he makes there. But you had one kind of like final question, I think, which is around...
Yeah, I probably did.
Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've talked a lot about hell.
Yeah, but. Right. So he's going to go with the quotes I mentioned earlier in the scriptures that it's a little bit more of a philosophical than a descriptive thing. Mm-hmm. God will be all in all, so that heaven is life in God or in Christ, and that it's being all brought together into that final glory. What that looks like, you know, of course, we have descriptions like Revelation or some other prophetic texts, but it's kind of a hard thing to...
Right. Well, not to be flippant, but uh-huh. ultimately, We don't know, right? I mean,
yeah, ultimately we don't know. And ultimately one of the big problems is and he mentions this in the book, and that's a pretty fascinating point. When people read Dante's trilogy,
yeah.
Which one do they find the most captivating?
Well, the...
The Inferno.
The Inferno. Yeah. The rings and yeah.
So I've read all three, and the Purgatorio is like that. You know, you end up with the beatific vision and everybody's staring at the throne of God. But what people are still ultimately find the most captivating, and probably the portion of it that Dante wrote the best, was the first one.
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to get our minds around heaven. That's intriguing.
Well, look, you and I have mentioned Darth Vader, Stalin, Pol Pot. I mean, we've not mentioned the beneficial, really, right?
Yeah, right.
I mean, our conversation has been about...
And what's heaven like if Pol Pot's there?
Yeah.
What's Pol Pot like in heaven? That starts to be where we have to trust God to do right. that work. And that's hard to... That's really hard to do. But the other option, which Bentley Hart is arguing against, is that somehow... Eternal damnation is just, that it somehow matches the crime of the sin of any particular person.
Pastor Clint Schneckloth is the lead pastor at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Fayetteville, and he often stops by the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio to recommend books of all kinds. This time, he suggested All Shall Be Saved, Heaven, Hell, and Universal Salvation by theologian David Bentley Hart. This is Ozarks at Large.
Sona, the Symphony of Northwest Arkansas, continues the 65th season February 1st at Walton Arts Center. Sona musicians and special guest soloists perform the season's second Masterworks concert featuring Carl Orff's masterpiece, Carmina Burana. Tickets at 443-5600 or sonamusic.org. Thayden School is now accepting applications for students entering grades 6 through 12 during the 2020-21 academic year. Located in downtown Bentonville, Thayden educates students from across Northwest Arkansas. Applications and information at thadenschool.org.
Tomorrow on Ozarks at Large, we remember our conversation with Terry Jones of Monty Python. In 2006, he visited the University of Arkansas, and he talked to us about history, writing, and why we shouldn't trust Julius Caesar when it comes to animals.
You've got to take everything with a piece of salt. I mean, also with the Roman historians, you've got to bear in mind Julius Caesar in the Gallic Wars describes an elk. And when he describes the elk, he says elks have no knees, and if they they can't get down or get up again from the ground, and if they go to sleep leaning against trees, and so the way that people catch them in northern Germany is that they come along, they saw halfway through the trees, and when the elk leans against it, the tree breaks, and the hunters come and pick them up in the morning. So that was Julius Caesar on elk. So you have to be sort of take everything with a pinch of salt.
Terry Jones died this week, and we recall his visit to our show in the spring of 2006. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large, again at a special time, 11 a.m., as we shift for the NPR live coverage of the impeachment trial in the United States Senate. Arkansas Razorback men's basketball team now an even 3-3 in SEC play after last night's loss to Mississippi State in Starkville, 77-70. Loss gives Arkansas its first two-game slide of the season and drops the overall record to 14-4. Tonight, the Arkansas women's basketball team in Bud Walton Arena for a matchup against Georgia, tip-off set for 6. University of Arkansas Fort Smith basketball teams also at home tonight, hosting Cameron. The women's game tips at 5:30 tonight in Stubblefield Arena. The men's game follows. John Brown University teams are at Wayland Baptist tonight. The Arkansas gymnastics team will be in Barnhill Arena tomorrow night, hosting Kentucky at 6 p.m. Also this weekend, Arkansas men's basketball team hosting TCU Saturday afternoon at 3. Arkansas men's tennis team playing Drake Saturday at noon in Fayetteville. Then Wichita State Saturday evening at 5. And Middle Tennessee State Sunday afternoon at 2. And the Arkansas women's basketball team home again Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock tip against Florida. Both UAFS basketball teams are home again Saturday with a doubleheader against Midwestern State. The women's game Saturday in Fort Smith is the annual Purple Game to raise awareness and funds for Alzheimer's and dementia prevention. Both men's games in Fort Smith this week, tonight and Saturday, are part of the National Coaches vs. Cancer campaign.
This is 60 Second Civics from the Center for Civic Education. I'm Mark Gage. For much of the colonial period, Great Britain paid little attention to the American colonies. Britain had become a world power and was often busy fighting wars in Europe. The government in Britain did not have much time to devote to the colonies. In addition, the colonies were a long distance away. Communication between the colonies and Britain was slow because news had to travel by ship. News of events in the colonies reached Britain months later. Orders from the government to the colonies took months to arrive. During the years of British neglect, the colonists became used to ruling themselves. Further, the colonists had been able to ignore many of the laws made by Parliament. By the mid-1700s, however, the British began to show a new interest in the colonies as a source of revenue. The new taxation imposed by Parliament aroused the anger of the colonists. The show's theme song is Complacent by Cheryl B. Englehart. You can find Cheryl online at cbemusic.com. 60 Second Civics, where civic education only takes a minute.
This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Alma. 91.3 KUAF is a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. Contributors to this Thursday show included Daniel Carruth, Antoinette Grajeda, and Susanna Sitek, who gave us information and sound about the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter and Madison County. Our show, mastered by Timothy Dennis in the Harold and Blanche Koch News Studio at the Carver Center for Public Radio. The Northwest Arkansas Business Journal with Paul Gowling, part of our partnership with Talk Business and Politics. You can find out more at talkbusiness.net. Our Thursday thanks to Leah Uribe for coming in to talk with Antoinette about upcoming performances, as well as to Pastor Clint Schneckloth for his latest book recommendation. Our theme for the show is titled First Hurrah. It's written and performed by Daryl Sean. You can find out more about Daryl at his Facebook page or darylsean.com. His most recent CD is titled Safe in Sound. Speaking of Antoinette Grajeda, she also combs our archives for us to find some music to end many of our shows. We finish up this Thursday morning with Will Gunselman and his recording of Carry On. Will is scheduled to perform Monday night, beginning at 5 at JJ's Bella Vista. Thanks for being with us. Back tomorrow, an hour earlier at 11 a.m., as we lead into another day of live coverage of the impeachment trial from NPR. Today's coverage begins next on KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Stay warm and safe out there.
Get up, sunshine, well, it's time to start. Worst is come and gone, ain't that the best part? There's no more saying, ain't life hard enough as it is? Because we feel our buckets full of joy and pain, we toss them down the river just to fill them up again. It's time to get moving, it's time to travel on. Oh, it's time, 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 time. Carry on. Oh, well, call out your children, call out your kin, call to the heavens, baby, let us begin. The time is now, we ain't got much daylight. Rains, it pours, it's coming in the windows, it's all over the floor. It's time to get moving, it's time now to travel on. Oh, it's time, 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 time to carry on. No, no, woo, 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 woo. It's time, 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 time.